Long Talk Radio.
With your hands lifted up, say it like this. Take the limits off.
Church, the birthplace of gospel music. That's right, TTLO Radio, and it's Monday, y'all. We got a special show, another collaboration show with my sister, my twin, as we like to say, Angela Johnson, from one sister to another, is in the studio with us today.
You doing all that? Take the limits off.
Okay, no flat. But, no flat. We are live, you all, and I'm excited to be here. We have a very, very special guest. Cook County Board President Tony Brentwinkle will be sitting right here in between in about 8 minutes, So we're giving her a chance to catch her breath and relax and enjoy the scenery and listen to this business over here before we talk to her. Anyway, if this is your first time watching, first time listening, first time ever doing anything with TTLO Radio, let me give you a rundown of how you can be a part of today's show. If you are already listening on the line, you mean you've already dialed in, simply push 1. That will get you to my producer. That's right. My producer is in the studio. Latonya Melton is running the board on the other side over there, pushing all the buttons. Yeah, the police, right. Right. Sophia here. Sophia home. Everything's going to be all right. But she is on the other side over there making sure we do what we're supposed to do. But if you push 1, that'll get you to her. She's going to make sure you say you got some semblance of the Holy Ghost before we let you talk on these airwaves. Okay. And that's all you have to do. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 323-870-4375. Again, that call-in number is 323-870-4375. That's how you can reach us. If you... What?
Ow.
I don't have to slow down. I do this every day.
Yeah.
Everybody knows number but you. Everybody. If you want to email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Oh, praise him.
Okay.
Takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net is where you can email the show again, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that as well. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. If you want to follow us on Instagram, you can do that as well. Follow us on the gram at TTLO Radio. You can follow us there. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO Radio is where you can find us there, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Two T's, one L, one O is where you can find us there. And then the live streams are up and running. If I could see, over glass right here. I'm like, if I could see, I'll be all right. The live stream is up and running, facebook.com/TTLO Radio is where you can find us there. Look forward to hearing from you all that way. And then don't forget, we are an iHeart Radio partner. That's right, we are an iHeart Radio station. Is that your sound on here?
Oh.
Can you turn something down?
I'm not doing it.
Okay. I heard it. But you can follow us on iHeart Radio. We're there as well. Just download the iHeart app, do a simple search for Taking the Limits Off Media Group, and you can find this show, Taking the Limits Off Radio, and the other shows that are under the TTLO Media Group umbrella, which includes One Sister to Another, that comes every, well, she's on special shows right now so we can get that schedule worked out. One Sister to Another, and then every Thursday, for those of you who have small businesses and entrepreneurs and you're looking for startup information, Grindology is every Thursday at 7 p.m. right here at the Taking the Limits Off Media Studios here, again, at the historic, see, because I know you don't like it, Ebenezer Missionary.
Yeah, I like that
church. The birthplace of gospel music.
Thomas A. Dorf.
And if that ain't gonna get it for you, you can find find us on Spotify. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Blogger, Stitcher. And if that ain't going to help you, just Google us. You can find us everywhere. I think I said enough time.
Now, just tell me this. Have you ever went to the iHeartRadio app and said, taking the limits off radio?
Yes.
To see if she'll...
At home, I talked to my Google Home, and I said, hey, Google, play taking the limits off radio.
And it comes
on.
So excited. Y'all don't know what that means. to the black man.
It's good to see it's on there. And then it downloads automatically, now even in the car. So I had the iHeart app in the car, so now it's like right there. So
that's
kind of
amazing.
Cool. It's kind of cool to see your stuff
pretty
on,
cool.
You know, based off where we came from. It's kind of cool to see.
Yeah.
Kind of cool to see that. What's going on?
Not a thing.
You preached yesterday at somebody, sir.
I preached yesterday at Lonnie from former church, because you know he's in Houston now. So I was in Harvey, Illinois.
I didn't know.
Yeah, he's in Houston. Big minister of music there, but I preached at St. Mark over in Harvey yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and it was absolutely, positively an amazing situation. I was so blessed to be there. This is my second time.
Mm-hmm.
I did their Women's Soldiers a couple of months ago, and then they asked me if I would come back and do their Women's Day. It was a blessing. And I heard it was storming outside.
Yeah, we are right in the middle and remind me to ask you. Pastor Person told me to ask you. Daryl Person, he knows you, and the name he asked me to give you. Yeah, I'm trying to remember that. I got it somewhere because I knew I was supposed to be there. My mind is real bad. But while he was preaching yesterday, there was like this loud thunder, like lightning and thunder, and literally you could hear it through the sound system, and all the internet, everything went out. The broadcast just died. Right?
Stopped.
It stopped, literally, and it fried our mobile. Yeah, because I had to go down there. So he had to preach yesterday afternoon, and I couldn't go. I had to stay here and wait
to try to fix things up.
Because they didn't come either today or tomorrow, and I said, no, I got this today. Y'all need to come out Sunday. So kudos real quick to come down.
Because
I called them at 1 o'clock, and that guy showed up at 2:45. Now, I know Comcast gets a bad rap.
But they came out.
And see, I give Comcast a bad rap because I worked there for almost 15 years.
Can,
so
can
I know the
so,
ins and outs.
But can you also imagine, though, so they came out. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine what we've been going through by way of American Airlines? You know, when it rained, when it I got my 30 plus year, but I can remember when it was rain or whatever, storm or whatever. I remember those first 10 years, they wouldn't suspend operations. Now when thunder comes, or when they see thunder so many miles out,
mm-hmm.
I can remember on Saturday I worked and they said that the storms were going north. Next thing you know, they were coming west. But at any rate, we saw from now on, you know, if we see the thundering, the lightning, we will, of course, suspend operations. You have to be there when all of this is over, when the customer... Do you know what I'm saying? and then they get upset about it. I used to work at the ticket counter. Now my guys are under me.
Mm-hmm.
But they would get upset at you, and I would just look at them and say, sir, I'm going to tell you what I can do, and I'm going to share with you what I can. I can't stop Mother Nature from doing what she wants to do. I will not put an aircraft in there and have to worry about you.
Right.
So just go ahead. And I mean, they swing. I mean, they do everything but swing. So it's a challenge for everybody. But kudos to the American Airlines team on PM for just doing what you do. Come on, we need you and we appreciate
you. Real quick, did you, I didn't know anything about it. There was this thing in Hyde Park called Silver Moon. Silver. It's Hyde Park. You know anything about
this? Do they have any crab legs? That's all you need to tell. If there's crab legs, then I would know about it. Evidently, there must not be any crab legs.
I don't know, Angela. I was just asking if you had heard anything about this thing called the Silver Room.
I've already made a plan today, though, that when we go to our first break, I'm going to order me some honey. Well, we can't say their name. I'm going to order me some barbecue.
Oh, we can say Honey One.
Okay, I'm going to order
We can say Honey One barbecue on the
right.
I'm still working on getting out. Some other people, we ain't saying their name. Just say Honey One. We gonna keep working on that. Yeah, I'm trying to get them. Yeah, I'm gonna help them. They don't even have like an internet presence, so I'm gonna make that a real. We trying to make that a real.
They're good too. They're good.
Oh, they got some good real tips.
They're good.
So you non-pork eaters, y'all go somewhere else.
Yeah, but we're excited.
All right, so look, this is what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, y'all, it's gonna be somebody special sitting right here in the middle. And we'll give a formal introduction and all that stuff. She has an extensive bio. I'm going to ask her during the break. Do she want me to read all of this? She probably won't. I know, right? It's a bit much. I know, right? So I'm going to come back, we'll be joined by our special guest, one of the only Cook County Board President, Tony Preckwinkle. We will be right back in a few moments. In the meantime, I got to play my song. I don't care. Y'all know I'm going to play it because I'm going to play it because she went herself. Right. I'm going to play it because she went herself. No, so you
I'm out.
You, that's Kirk Franklin. So you,
no,
you,
it is.
Yes, it is. You,
wait till the music come on.
Mm-hmm. Right back, y'all. See y'all.
There's a time and season for everything, and I know the long way can feel unreal. Wondering when you're gonna get what you think you deserve. If you think that's how it works, my friend, it don't. There are many things you have to learn to do before God can release what he has for you. While you're waiting on your blessings, work on yourself. Here are some things that you gotta learn. You gotta learn how to kneel and pray. You gotta learn to not complain. You gotta learn to ignore the mess. You gotta learn how not to stress. You gotta learn to watch your thoughts. You need to learn to watch your mouth. You gotta change what's in your heart. So you can handle it. Please understand, God knows what you want, and he also knows what's in your heart. If he give it to you now, you may crash and burn. You gotta learn how to wait till it's your turn. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all the other stuff will be added in time. I'm only sharing with you what I know, because these are some lessons I have to learn. You gotta learn how to kneel and pray. You gotta learn to not complain. You gotta learn to ignore the mess. You gotta learn how not to stress. Where your help comes from, cause faith without words is, you need to go to church so you can be saved. See, trials come to make you strong, but these are the lessons that will help you grow. I'm trying to share with you what I know.
We are back, you all, and we have our special guest of pleasure, Angela Pikachu, coming in by paragraph.
President of the Cook County Board of Commissioners, an office she has held since 2010, a dedicated and effective public servant. President Preckwinkle has worked tirelessly and collaboratively to reshape county government through increased fiscal responsibility, transparency, and improved services. I'm getting to the good part. As the one of the nation's systems and one is a lifelong advocate for equity and equality, and through her work as president, has fought to improve healthcare access, bring increased fairness to the criminal justice system, and expand employment training opportunities for some of the county's most disadvantaged youth. I'm telling y'all, there's much more we can read. We can ask her. We can ask her right here on the air. But I'm telling you all, you want to get ready because she is an African American woman in Chicago right about now. She's president, and she's going to be running again for president. So look, I'm looking at this tenure. You're an amazing woman. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you.
You take it over, Mr. Day.
Oh, okay. Hey, I'm excited. Thank you again for coming.
Of course. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for hanging out with us. And I'm just glad to have you here. We had tried to we reached out to you, to your people. Let me say that, not to you. You know you got people. We, so we reached out to people. people, you know, during the mayoral election and all that other stuff to try to get both of y'all on here. Y'all in Paris. But you here now. It's all right. Anyway, just give us some, if you can. You have a very extensive background. Share with us briefly, not even briefly, take your time, actually. What, as a black woman in Chicago, the first black woman president in Chicago, and being in politics, can you just speak to that?
Well, first of all, I'm grateful for the opportunity to be on the program.
Thank you.
You know, I grew up in St. Paul, Minnesota. I came to Chicago to go to college. And I spent the first 10 years of my working life as a teacher.
I saw that.
But in public, private, and parochial schools, and I loved it. I was a high school history teacher. I got into politics in 1982. I decided I would run for alderman. I ran in 1983. I lost. I ran in 1987. I lost. I won my first election on my third try in 1991.
Fourth Ward
alderman. And actually, Ebenezer was in my ward.
Yes.
subsequent redistricting put you in the third ward.
With Dorothy Tillman.
That's right, Dorothy Tillman and now Bagdell.
Right.
But initially, you were in the fourth ward.
Mm-hmm.
And I was grateful to visit the church on a number of occasions as alderman. After almost 20 years as alderman, I was elected president of the county board. I'm the second woman to serve, but the first woman to be elected.
Right, because
Bobby Steele.
That's right,
Bobby Steele from the West Side. Became president of the board when John Stroger became ill.
Yes, during transition, I remember
he
that.
He had a stroke, and she became the president, and she served and retired at the end of the term.
Mm-hmm.
And then Todd Stroger served from 2006 to 2010, and then I was elected.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I'm in the middle of my third term.
Third term.
And you have children, you have grandchildren.
I have a son.
A little bit about them.
I have a son and a daughter. My son is in construction. My daughter is a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
I have three grandchildren who live in the neighborhood, and I'm grateful for them. They all attend our neighborhood.
Awesome. So there's no politics in Chicago. Chicago's politics, and you're not just in you're in Cook County, so you encompass more than just
mm-hmm.
Chicago.
We're just
the largest piece, I'm assuming.
About half the population is about 5.2 million people in Cook County. It's
right.
The second largest county in the country after Los Angeles. And half of the people,
okay. So with your, you've been in office now for, did you say 12, almost 12 years?
Not 2010 is when
2010, sorry, so 9 years, almost 9 years. What's been the relationship with the city, going back from, because that means you've been here for part of daily and then all of wrong.
Yeah.
Right? You had an inch of daily.
About 6 months of Mayor Daley,
uh-huh.
And then Rob. After he was elected, but before he took office, we sat down and talked
mm-hmm.
and said, let's figure out ways we can work together,
mm-hmm.
to share a building, but there really had never been much interaction between the city and the county.
Why was that?
I'm not sure. But we put together a task force, nine members, and they came back with a couple dozen recommendations. We combined workforce initiatives. We we have reciprocal certification,
mm-hmm.
MDs and WBs.
Mm-hmm.
We worked together in particular on employment training. We put our resources together to create Public Workforce Partnership
mm-hmm.
to serve both those who need employment and employers. So there are a number of ways in which we began to work together as a result of those initial conversations.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So what has been the you've seen, and I've seen all the, you know, I watch everybody's news, that's just what I do. What has been the, what do you think, where's the dividing line? Why is there seem to be, and I think it was there, I don't want to say it was there just because of the last election, but there's been this, it seems to be just a gap between the cooperation that should be there. You would think Chicago is in Cook County, so it just makes sense that you would have some sort of unity.
Well, we to the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
What comes from that?
Cool. All right, cool. Is what you got?
Well,
not go all day.
Of course, you know, of course. So we're asking, of course, we're getting to know you much, much better. Tell me this, though. So not one of your children wanted to go into politics?
My son is interested in politics, but he works
really?
In construction, and my daughter doesn't have any.
She does not have any interest. One of the things I saw in your bio that was very interesting to me is about you're solving more than 2.1 billion in budget deficit, 151 million in expenditures, and passing balanced budgets each year, of course, of your tenure. I want you to share with us, how does that even look? That's a lot of money to be handling. And so how do you make sure that everything is being distributed to the right place at the right time, and we're not overspending, we're right where we need to be?
What's the real challenge? We have almost $6 billion budget, $5.9 billion, looking in the year ahead. Half of that is in health care. It's the Cook County Health and Hospital System. I'll call it Cook County Health. And, you know, whenever I go in a room, I just ask, how many of you were born in Cook County Hospital and know somebody who was born in
Cook
County?
Wow.
And that's a lot of folks.
Wow.
So our hospital system has been serving whoever comes to our door for 180 years. And we provide, there are 70 hospitals in Cook County. We provide more than half of the charity care. Hmm. It's the people who don't have the resources to pay for their care. Half of that care is delivered by Cook County Health, our two hospitals, Providence and Stewart.
And that was prior to any national health care or anything like that. We've always done it, right?
We've always done it. Before Obamacare, before
right.
the Affordable Care
right.
Act,
right.
we provided a tremendous amount
wow.
of charity care
mm-hmm.
to people who didn't have resources. So we've been a godsend to a lot of folks over many generations.
You know, I can remember being a little girl, and my mom, I didn't go to, yes, we did. There was a clinic over there. I just can't remember. You remember? Fantasy Clinic. You know, every kid on the block was a Fantasy Clinic, but they had some amazing doctors over there. But I was born at Illinois Research.
Uh-huh.
I was like saying to myself, Illinois Research. How does all that go together?
University of Illinois.
Yeah. So, Fantasy Clinic. Okay. So now they have what over there? Because I haven't been around that corner and I can't even tell you when.
We have a new ambulatory care center.
Okay.
Which is just to the south of Stroger Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Costs $110 million. It opened last October.
Nice.
So
awesome.
Down and we have a beautiful little facility now to provide outpatient care, ambulatory care to folks. So
wow. I was there at the work that you did, I want to say last year, year before, to actually introduce all of that to how important to you, Tony, are young people? You know, what they're doing today and trying to make sure that some of them, parents, as we just got to admit that some parents are on drugs for whatever reason, or they're sick, and then you have a grandmother raising them, or whatever. How important is it to you to have to, they're able to with
$1,400 a year in federal support that comes into Illinois for each person, for each person that's counted. That's 14,000 over a 10-year period, over a decade. That's a lot of money per person. So, and you know, sometimes people don't see the importance of participating in the census, filling out the forms, whatever, but it brings money to the state. And furthermore, our number of people in Congress depends on our population. We're definitely going to lose one member of Congress, and we might lose more if we don't have a good count. We have a complete count commission that actually met today under the leadership of Commissioner Stan Moore and Commissioners Deer and Anaya and Arroyo, who are co-chairs, to begin to plan the efforts to be sure that everyone participates in the census. Okay. Go ahead.
There is, I don't know how true this is. There is a stigma, something about the census. I remember hearing this when I was a kid about the census.
Yeah.
There's always some weird. I think. Right.
For the state and for the county. We didn't. For the city.
I don't think we knew that.
We did not know.
Those
that.
Are important. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I don't think that was what we were given, or that information wasn't disseminated clearly to my parents and grandparents, because I think a lot of times they just didn't fill it out, or they didn't fill it out properly. So it wasn't until, you know, I got of age that I recognized that, oh, this thing actually means something, or not just something that
sure
just comes in the mail. So what can we do to, I don't know what's going on with the internet, it'll clean itself up. What can we do? What can we do to, I guess, educate our people to make sure that, you know.
Well, I try to talk about it wherever I go.
Okay. Okay.
And we encourage our commission to do that as well. As I said, it's about resources for the community in which you live, your city, your county, your state.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't participate, that's $1,400 a year that the city, the county, the state doesn't get, right? So it's really critical, and we want to be sure that we're well represented in Congress, and that means that we have to have a complete count as well.
Okay. I love that.
So let's do this. We're gonna take let's take a quick break so I can figure out. I'm getting people typing me, telling me stuff is wrong and not. They can hear but they can't see and all that. It's fine. We'll get it figured out in a moment. We're gonna take a quick 2-minute break just to make sure that feed over there is working fine. And then we come back and we'll continue our conversation with Cook County Board President Tony Grandwinkle is in the house with us. So we're going to do that and fix this thing real, real quick. So y'all calm down, because I know y'all like, wait a minute, what's going on? Why can't we see? Blah, 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 blah. I got it, y'all. I got it. Calm down. Let me get a little bit of this. We'll be right back, y'all. CLO. Great conversation. Cook County.
And the clerk of the court, which is, who's responsible for all of the record keeping.
Okay.
So those are the five stakeholders: the chief judge, the sheriff, the public defender, the state's attorney, and the clerk of the court. Now, we spend about half of our budget on health care. We talked about
mm-hmm.
health and hospital services. We spend another almost 40% on criminal justice. So most of the county's resources go to health care and criminal justice. When I came into office, there were about 11,000 people in the jail on a daily basis. The overwhelming majority of those folks were people accused of nonviolent crimes.
Mm-hmm.
So 93% of the people were awaiting trial. That means they hadn't been convicted of the crime they were accused.
Sitting in jail. Wow.
7% were serving a sentence. So the overwhelming majority were awaiting trial.
Mm-hmm.
In our country, you are innocent until proven guilty. Had all kinds of people accused but not convicted of crimes in our jail.
Mm-hmm.
And the overwhelming majority of the people who were awaiting trial, remember that's 93% of the folks, were accused of nonviolent crimes. Drugs, prostitution,
mm-hmm.
you know, things people do to get money for their drugs, basically,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So we said we need to reform the criminal justice system. We need to look at people accused of nonviolent crimes. Why are they awaiting their trials in jail? They're not a danger to themselves or their community. You know, I'm sorry, a shoplifter doesn't need to really be in jail.
Yes,
and frankly, somebody's got a couple of joints in their pocket, doesn't need to be in jail either.
We
spend about $162 a day to keep somebody in jail. Okay? $162. You know, it doesn't make sense from a physical point of view, and it doesn't make sense from a criminal justice point of view. So we said we're going to focus on those accused of nonviolent crimes. Chief Judge Evans found an assessment tool
mm-hmm.
from the Arnold Foundation. It's kind of a checklist. Does the person have an address? Do they have a job?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how long they've been in that job? How long do they live at the address? Do they
mm-hmm.
have any other offenses that they've been charged with? They have an assessment tool, and that tool makes a recommendation about how they should be treated when they come into bond. And so we look very carefully at those accused of nonviolent offenses. We've been able to reduce our jail population from the 10 or 11,000 that it was when I came in
mm-hmm.
to now less than 6,000,
mm-hmm.
which means people accused of nonviolent crimes can be at work, could be at school, to support themselves and their family rather than waiting in jail because they can't afford to pay a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know that many of the people in our community just don't have a lot of resources. It can't come up even with a cash bond of a couple $100s,
right?
But if it's costing you $162 a day to keep somebody in jail in real danger,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't make fiscal sense and it truly doesn't make sense for them as an individual or for the communities out of which they come. We put a lot of emphasis on bond court reform.
Mm-hmm.
But let me just say, there have been allegations, mainly from Superintendent Johnson, that our bond court reforms have led to violence in the street.
Mm-hmm.
But let me just say, between October of 2017, right after Chief Judge Evans instructed judges in bond court to assume that the person could be held
mm-hmm.
accountable without being held in jail,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, held accountable without being held in jail.
Sense.
Between October 2017 and March of 2019, more than 99% of the people accused of violent crimes did not pick up a new charge while they were waiting trial. More than 99, it's almost 99.8%.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that means the overwhelming majority, 30,000 plus people,
mm-hmm.
only 72 of them. 30,000 people, only 72 of them picked up a new violence charge. So this is the challenge we have of violence in our neighborhood is
mm-hmm.
not being driven by bond court reform.
Right.
It's driven by other causes. And we know what some of them are. You know, people who are desperate
mm-hmm.
for resources and end up in illicit street activity,
mm-hmm.
people
mm-hmm.
who are hopeless,
mm-hmm.
don't live lives or anybody else's, live in communities where there's no employment opportunity, where there are no social services. You know, sometimes there isn't even a grocery store, right? There are food deserts.
Food deserts.
So we know there's a whole constellation of issues, including trauma that you've experienced yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The former Secretary of Education, Arnie Duncan, who was a Chicagoan, has come back to Chicago, talks about visiting classes and asks, you know, how many of you know somebody who's been shot?
Wow.
You know, in elementary school.
In
right?
elementary.
You know,
mm-hmm.
lots
yeah.
of hands fail.
Yeah.
So there's lots of trauma. We're not dealing with that. In addition to the other things I just talked about, the lack of economic opportunity,
mm-hmm.
lack of social services, lack of even simple things like grocery stores, there's a lot of unaddressed trauma.
Yeah.
You know, if you've been off in Iraq or Afghanistan and you come back and you need support because you've seen your friends and colleagues, you know, shot and killed, that's understandable to people. But we also need to understand that in many of our neighborhoods, they're
mm-hmm.
like war zones.
And
the young people in particular need support for post-traumatic stress.
Absolutely.
Trauma.
There is a definitely a mental health issue in our community, and it's been overlooked for years, and it's only most recently that I know of that from a church standpoint, even talking about self-care, making sure know how to recognize it in there, and then pass it on to the parents, so the parents can then take a better look at their children and say, okay, wait a minute, now I see what's, you know, because it, you know, we would just put it away as though it's just kids acting out,
absolutely.
And there's so much more to it than that. And even myself working at a public school, it's part of school, but it's still inside the public school
yes.
system. Working in that, you can see firsthand some of the trauma that kids go through, and then you understand why they act the way they act. So,
how about this too, Dana? Mm-hmm. Jashaun DeHeel, I don't know if you know her, but Jashaun DeHeel comes to us, and she sat down in our high school. She's a representative for Chicago by way of homicides and families. And I remember we did a, Dana, if you were there, we did a town hall.
Mm-hmm.
And at that town hall, the theme was becoming the and speak, stop being a noisy wagon. But if we're going to help these young people, then we need to find ways to help them. Sometimes even outside of what Cook County is necessarily doing, it is still my job as a parent of children, grandchildren, whatever, to help, and as clergy. But what Jashaun DeHeel said, I thought bears to be said again. She says, you see me in this classroom, and you want to teach me about arithmetic. You want to teach me about apples, but really, I can't even concentrate on that right now because I got a mom at home who, of course, is out swinging his gun every night, and this is what I come home to. Or I'm that kid who has to now take care of their grandmother because she's now on drugs. Come on, grandparents
mm-hmm.
are on drugs. The moms and dads. So, of course, we appreciate everything that you everything that you've done so far, everything that you're going to do. Talk to us just a little bit about juvenile. Of course, we were just talking about that, but I want to talk about it a little bit more, if you will. I don't know, how can it even be human that we incarcerate a young person and charge them as an adult when their little mental is not there? The little gangbanger, he's doing what he's doing because he's just trying to protect. They said that this was mine. And the other thing is that in these groups outside of home, dad is not paying any attention because dad is not at home.
Mm-hmm.
Dad is outside of the house. Mom can't pay attention to me because she's doing her own thing. And so these folks outside of the home, they said, I'm their family. I'm their boy. I'm their world dog. So how does little bit about what we can do or what you see from the Cook County level that we can do that really will bring some peace to our neighborhoods.
I think we've got to invest a lot more in our public schools.
Hmm.
You know, as you know, it's not just it's nurses, it's social workers, it's psychologists, it's support for the young people, particularly behavioral health services, because so many of them suffer unaddressed trauma. So I think many of our schools do not have school nurses, do not have social workers.
The day when I went to school, we had a nurse.
Right. And, you know, that's one of the things teachers are in negotiations with CPS, which is called the public school system. And one of the things they're pressing for is more support staff, to help our kids meet the challenges they face in their neighborhoods and in their homes so that they can better attend to being students in the classroom.
That meant me so much to say.
Okay, we talked about Cook County Health. We touched on the criminal justice piece. Real quick, so we just had this in Chicago, this historic election. For the first time, two prominent black women in Chicago running for most powerful office in Chicago. That office. And could you just share with us your experience in that running for? Is this your first time running for mayor?
Yes, I never did before.
Okay.
It was a tremendous challenge, but the election's over and we have to govern.
Yeah.
And, my focus continues to be on trying to do what's best for the people of Cook County.
Mm-hmm.
And, we've talked about the principal areas of responsibility, healthcare and criminal justice, and kind of what we're doing there. We're going to continue to try to address those challenges. And in addition to working on the other big thing that we've tried to address is economic development.
Mm-hmm.
You know, economic development is a challenge in the city, but it's particularly a challenge in many of our suburban communities.
Absolutely.
Our south suburban communities in particular. And so we put a lot of resources in our south suburban communities, not just housing, economic development, but also infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
We try to support the businesses that are there by making sure that they have the kind of industrial streets, for example, that they need. We're investing in transit. We're investing in freight. So we're trying to figure out how we can have a south suburban economic growth strategy.
Okay.
And we have actually an initiative in the south suburbs to figure out how the county can be a significant player in support of the many small communities that are there that have severe challenges around resources.
When you talk about south suburbs, talking about places like Dixmoor and Cushman Hills,
Yeah.
No offense, Fort Heights people.
Phoenix. villages in our south suburbs that are really challenged in terms of having enough revenue to effectively serve their residents.
Real quick, back to the criminal justice piece and locking people up. And I don't mean. Could somebody please explain to me what the purpose of locking the people up if they didn't pay child support? Could you help me?
That's one of those non-violent crimes.
Yes,
that
it is.
Sense.
Yes, it is.
I mean, how on earth are you going to pay your child support if you're in jail? Right?
That has always made. I remember going to court. I wasn't locked up, but I remember going to court to make sure my child support stuff was right for my son. He's grown now, praise the Lord. Yes, but I remember Joshua. Anyway, I remember going to court and I'm watching them bring people from the back in orange jumpsuits, and then the judge asked the question, "Have you found a job?" And I'm thinking to myself, sitting in the gallery, like, how is he looking for a job? But these were the questions, and you would see the and I hate to call him the offender, but I call him the victim. You see the guy standing there, and just like, when was I supposed to look for a job?
Yeah.
When I've been sitting.
And you come from a community where the unemployment rate is double, triple, quadruple the national rate.
You went there. Can we briefly talk about your president? I haven't claimed it yet, but I'm American, so I have to. But can we talk about? I know.
Yeah.
Can you briefly just? Just give us something, and then we can move on.
Encourage us in some way.
I think this is a very difficult time in our country's history
mm-hmm.
because so many people, and frankly, so many white people,
mm-hmm.
who believe that they're not going to have the same opportunity their parents had, and their children
yeah.
are not going to have the same
yeah.
opportunity they had. And whenever you have that kind of location,
mm-hmm.
we've lost so many manufacturing jobs,
mm-hmm.
they've been replaced by service jobs that don't pay as well, may not have pensions,
mm-hmm.
may not have sick days. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When there's been that kind of tremendous dislocation, people are anxious and frightened.
Yes.
And it's easy to fall into scapegoating.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, making a distinction between us and them. And Trump is the person who appeals to that. You know, who, you know, what does he do? He has no respect for women.
None.
He talks about immigrants as if they're, you know, all criminals. He talks about Mexican Americans as racists and murderers.
Yeah.
I mean, wait a minute. You know, disrespectful of black folks. You know, there are folks with torches, you know, marching down the streets in Charlottesville.
Yeah.
He says, you know, they're good people
they're good
on
people.
Both sides. Wait a minute. You know?
They're good people on both sides.
Yeah. I mean, this is a person who has, you know, been successful politically in very difficult times for our country. And
mm-hmm.
we have to be very careful because this is a very dangerous time.
I am, and I know, you know, you are a Democrat, right? Yes. So I find it interesting. I have African American friends who are conservative. I'm still trying to figure out how we frame, but I still love y'all. But anyway, who are conservative, and it amazes me how people defend that.
Yeah. How
I'm not challenging your politics.
Right.
I'm asking how do you defend
that?
Because if roles were reversed and there was a white president, Democrat, speaking about minorities and immigrants the way that this person does, I just find it hard to believe that white Democrats would support that person. No, it blows my mind that they put on blind and say, well, the economy is doing great, and I don't see it doing great for you know.
What's happened is it's doing great for people kind of at the very top.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us are struggling.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us are struggling,
mm-hmm.
you know? And, of course, it's not just black and brown people. It's white people, too.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
when there's so much uncertainty and anxiety and, you know, people, as I said, a feeling kind of a dislocation,
mm-hmm.
then these folks rise up who give you the easy answers. It's all somebody else's fault. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
However,
yeah, yeah.
And that's what's so dangerous. You know, so many Americans have bought into Trump's racism, his anti-immigrant sentiments,
yeah.
his integration of Muslims.
Mm.
I mean, wait a minute, as if you know somehow the religion's
fault.
Yeah, it's one American. You know, I mean, wait a minute.
Supposed to be the land of the free, but anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Tell us this real quick, though. I want to talk for a minute because, of course, I get to call and set up little dates for your forest reserves and things of that nature. Talk to us about how we can, for people, because a lot of times people just don't know. You know, people sit and they can only talk about what Grandma Lean talked about and all that stuff, but talk to us just a little bit about how beneficial it is to make sure that the forest reserves are being run smoothly, ran appropriately, so that we can go and enjoy them the way that we are.
We're really blessed. You know, I said earlier that for 180 years, we've had health and hospitals in Sonoma County and served whoever came to our door, no matter whether you were insured, whether you had any money, you know, whatever your social standing, everybody. Now, the forest preserves are almost entirely free as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Now we have some activities. We've got a zip line that costs you a little money. It's a wonderful resource. 100-year-old reserves in the country. 11% of our land is in forest reserves. And we have most of the watersheds, and you know, it's every kind of ecosystem you can think of. It's wetlands, it's prairie, it's forest, it's savanna.
try to be sure that I mention when I talk about the board. We have 102 counties in the state of Illinois, and the most ecologically diverse is our own. It's also it's the most densely populated, but it's most ecologically diverse. Because if you think about it, much of the state is farmland, so they're growing one crop, corn or soybeans or something, right? Or far south, southeast, you know, it's forest. But we got kind of everything. We got the, you know, we got the waterfront, we got the rivers, we got, as I said, wetlands, prairies, forests, savannas. Everything in Cook County is the most ecologically diverse.
We love it.
And, you know, lots of opportunities for you to get out and walk, to go to one of our, to one of our nature centers,
absolutely,
to go to one of our campgrounds. We have five campgrounds.
We use them to barbecue, of course.
Very good. And yeah, people can use our picnic grounds for family events, you know, reunions, church events, whatever.
Bemis Woods.
Yeah.
That's the one.
That's the one.
That's, yeah, look it up. I did not know we had zip line.
Yeah,
down,
that's,
you know?
That's
I thought you only zip line in Jamaica. I didn't know we had
zip line. And it's a lot closer than, you know, the zip lines in Indiana or Wisconsin.
I had no idea.
Right there.
Okay.
The campgrounds are wonderful. We've got overnight camping, and you can tent, you can bring your RV, or you can run a camp.
Awesome.
Love it, love it, love it.
That's awesome. Look, you guys, we've been talking with the County Board President, Toni Preckwinkle. She's in studio with us. We're talking about Cook County. We're talking about all the stuff going on in our city. And
yeah, things you didn't know.
We even had a little national conversation real quick. We got out there real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Because one of the people on Facebook put the comment up. They said every time we mention Trump, the Facebook feed gets worse.
Yeah.
So very possibly, you know, I know when I used to talk about him real bad, we would be cut off completely. So it's, anything is possible. I don't want to be knocking on the door. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Cook County Board President Toni Preckwinkle. We're going to talk about what's coming up next for her and some other things. Okay, y'all? So we're going to do this. We're going to take a break. I know stuff still look crazy. Hey, you know what? I don't know what it is, but we're going to figure it out. My understanding is y'all still here real good, and I'll see you in the pictures back. So we're going to figure it out. We're going to figure it out. But y'all, look, y'all know what happens. We can't control certain stuff. You know, it is what it is. But we're going to work through it. But we'll take a short break. And when we come back, a little bit more with Cook County Board President Toni Preckwinkle. Where is my music that I want to play? Okay, there it is right there. Be right back. Hello.
One of my friends works. Okay, so
I've
worked for John Gozo.
I keep the horse.
Really? Do you know John Gozo? You know John?
No, I'm stupid.
Did you know that? The reservoir in my field work.
Yeah, you
want
to
know. When
I look at the world.
Fellowship. They might fellowship with me.
Hard to believe.
This is the one I saw. Did you know?
We need you, Lord, more than ever before. Heal our land, down to the core. Transform our hearts. We're void of your love. Send down your peace. Let it fall from above. Oh, we need you. We need you, Lord. We need you.
I
need you. We need you. Oh, we need you. Lord, we really need you. Lord, I need you.
Yes, we are up on the third floor. And that church is going through transition. We got a new pastor. And
every day I'm wishing
that
there's more I can do to help as many hearts find their way to you.
Location.
You see, people are dying.
Yeah.
right before my eyes. I feel so helpless. All I can do is cry. Please open our eyes. Help us see. Whatever hatred we have down inside, it's destroying our destiny. Oh, we need you, we need you, we need you.
Cook County Health. We talked about the financial piece. I think Angela even asked about like internships and things like that. What is the county doing currently with what is the county's role in securing funds or investments or whatever for businesses or anything like that? What role does the county play in that?
Well, first of all, we have a chief procurement officer who publishes every year a book of services that we need.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's a buying guide.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So businesses can look through that and see if they provide any of the goods or services the county needs.
Mm-hmm.
And when those bid opportunities are going to come up. So that's one thing. We certify minority-owned and women-owned businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a reciprocal certification with the city of Chicago. So if you're certified with the city,
okay,
you can be certified with the county.
Got it.
If you're certified with the county, you can be certified with the city. And we try to get out to all the kind of small business
mm-hmm.
events,
mm-hmm.
you know, that where government is represented to talk about opportunities to do business with the county. So we have tried not only to do outreach and to make it clear to people what the opportunities are, but we also try to do better in terms of being sure that when we give a contract, the resources actually go to the MBEs and WBEs
mm-hmm.
That are listed. Because, you know, there had been a kind of shelving
mm-hmm.
where you put somebody in down, place. Yeah, you put somebody down, you're going to work with them, and then when the work is done, you find they didn't use that vendor at all, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we invested a lot of money in information technology so that we could actually know whether or not commitments that were made were carried out. We invest a lot of in technology in our purchasing operations so we can get a better handle on how we're doing.
Okay, cool. All right, real quick, I got to ask this question. So, you know, I was mad at you for a long time. Everybody knows I was mad at you for a long time. I was mad about the sugar tax.
Yeah.
I was. Could you please explain what the rationale was behind it and
can kind of understand
what.
Well, let me just repeat. You know, half of our money goes to healthcare.
Right, right.
Half of our money. And when we weren't able to continue with the food and beverage tax, when we repealed it,
mm-hmm.
we basically had to make $200 million in cuts. So mm-hmm. we cut services, including healthcare services, we might otherwise have provided.
Mm-hmm.
Now, clearly, we didn't do a very good job of making the case for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you have to understand it, that if half of our money goes to healthcare,
mm-hmm.
we know that one of the...
Yeah.
We have in our community... Just astronomical.
Diabetic.
You know, rates of diabetes.
We really do.
Yes.
And what contributes to that? A lot of it is diet.
Is diet. Absolutely.
Right. I mean, actually, in both the black and brown communities, we just have really high rates.
Yeah.
And some of it's genetic.
Mm-hmm.
Our predisposition.
Absolutely.
Some of it's, you know, our own actions.
Mm-hmm.
And what contributes to that more than anything is the consumption of sweetened beverages. Tremendous amount of sugar.
Okay, because it was, and Latanya can do my witness for this. I remember going after this. It didn't bother me at first. Like, I didn't care, you know, because I was like, okay, I'll pay the tax on my wild cherry Pepsi. Everybody knows I'm addicted to wild cherry Pepsi. There. Just there.
It is addictive.
And since lemonade.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say the
yeah.
name.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be responsible. But anyway, but there was a drink that I drank that had absolutely no sugar in it. Zero sugar on the thing, and they still charged me the sweetened beverage tax. I was offended.
Oh, the no sugar.
I know it's a little weird, but I said that.
Yeah, clearly that shouldn't have been the case.
Okay.
And those drinks were exempted.
So, yeah.
But you know, the retailers were not happy about it, and some of them charged them everything. Is
yes.
Yeah.
In part to,
they were trying to make
ratchet up.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because when you go to the section in the because I'll say the name of the company. It was Aspire Energy Drinks, this local company. But it literally said no sugar, no carbs, no nothing. But everything in the aisle had a big green tag on it. Said all these are subject to the food and sweetened beverage tax.
Yeah, you know, clearly, as I said, you know, we need to make a better case for it. And
mm-hmm.
when we didn't have the resources,
mm-hmm.
We ended up, you know, cutting programs and services.
Yeah.
And as I said, half of our money goes to healthcare. Half of our money.
And we care about health, and it's unfortunate. Somebody asked me on yesterday if money was no issue, what would you do? And I said I would make a way for our elderly to be able to have vouchers for their medication so that they would not ever have to worry about a medication. Because most of your, it's a shame that some of your elderly, because of living on money and maybe making ends meet and not having enough money, they're now deciding whether or not they're going to do or go get that medication or not. And it just, that disturbs me to no end. So I totally get it. Tell us a little bit about what you'd like to do next. What would you like to do next?
Well, I think we talked a little bit early on in the program about the temples, and we're going to spend a lot of time over the next 9 months trying to inform people how important census participation is, completing their census.
And this will help with providing of monies and things of that nature.
It's money that comes from the federal government to your community.
Wow.
Based
wow.
on the
wow.
number of people that you have. So mm-hmm. if somebody's not counted, it means resources we don't get. So that's a critical issue. We're going to continue to work on health care. And, you know, we have, in addition to our two hospitals and 16 clinics, walk-in clinics, we have a healthcare program called County Care, which hopefully your viewers are familiar with.
Mm.
320,000 people who have Medicaid healthcare coverage and are part of our Medicaid expansion program called County Care.
Mm.
So we have our hospitals, our clinics, and then a Medicaid expansion program called County Care, which is basically health insurance for people.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So that's really important. I talked a little bit about criminal justice reforms that we've been working on. Trying to be sure that people aren't in jail simply because of their poverty.
Mm-hmm.
Not the serious of their offense.
Right.
Accused of, but their poverty.
But their
poverty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we know the criminal justice system chews us up, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the city of Chicago is half the population of the county, but 80% of the people in the jail are from Chicago. And 86% of the people in the jail, even even though we've dramatically reduced the population, 86% are black or brown and mostly black. And that's, you know, half the people in the county are black and brown, but 86% of the people in jail are black.
So I got a question. You kind of opened up segue for me to ask you this question. And then, of course, we're going to move into the next one, the cabinet, the president. Did you see the movie? Come on, the movie with the young men.
Oh, when they
When
they see us.
When they see us. What did you did not see it? That's okay. So of course
you know the story though.
You know the story.
I know the story and I couldn't make myself watch it.
Oh my god. Me either at first and
I made a mistake.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't follow the directions. There were some directions that were placed out before you came out saying don't binge watch it.
Wow.
So I watched
every
the first three episodes and it was and I refused to watch the rest. Because it was too much.
I watched
this happens every day.
Yeah, it does.
That's what I was going to ask you to address.
And I think it happens, but it's never been, you know, we hear about the news, and because we've gotten, I hate to say the word immune, we hear about this every
day.
Yeah, and we hear about it every day. And then, but to see it, even though it was a movie, but it was somebody's real life.
Yes, it was.
It was just. You know, I tell people, I said to someone when it first came out, it took me back to, and I'm not trying to segue into religion, but it took me back to when I went to see The Passion of the Christ. I'm like, okay, it's too much.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I got it. It's like, this, it's like too much for the senses. That's how, I mean, at some point, I'm, you know, at some point, you should probably just, you know, get a glass of wine. don't just watch it. But, yeah, but I just thought it was... It was something to see, and you know, it happens every day. And that is something where, you know, you had both the police and the prosecutors forcing something that shouldn't have never.
Well, let me just say, you know, Kim Fox has exonerated more than 80 people, more than any other jurisdiction in the 3 years that she served as state attorney. And, you know, we all know about John Birch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The torturing,
yeah.
Beating people in the
electro.
And we know about, you know, Sergeant Ron in the 2nd District.
Yeah.
You know, planting evidence on people.
Yeah.
You know,
there are others.
Yeah. And the Park area and the Latinx community, there's a detective named Rivero, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, same kind of stuff. So we know that, as I said, this happens every day. And I think the depth of the response that many people had to it was just being forced to confront it.
Was that a teenager, I guess, when it happened? So it was, I had no idea it even existed anywhere in New York. So it was like, you know, I don't think I even remember hearing about it. Or if I saw it on the news, I probably wouldn't even pay attention to the news back then. So.
Yeah.
Real quick, you brought it up. Kim Fox, Jussie Smollett. What was your thoughts on that? Or you just over it?
I think it's, first of all, it's a small thing in reality. It's blown up by people for their own reasons.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't that, it'd be something else.
Absolutely.
You know, I think people aren't happy that she's acknowledged that, you know, that we are the capital of wrongful convictions, you know? That she has said, you know, we're not gonna go after low level possession cases.
Okay.
You know, we're not gonna prosecute people for shoplifting of, you know, a couple $100.
Right.
You know, we're gonna put our resources behind trying to deal with the violent crimes. People accused of violent crimes. And I think that there are a lot of people who are unhappy with the exonerations, with the unwillingness to prosecute absolutely everybody who's arrested, and focus instead on people accused of more serious shootings and the murder. So I'm a big proponent of the criminal justice reforms that she supported and her focus. But it's important to understand a lot of people are unhappy.
Quick, one last question that we want to talk real quick about, and we'll move into your upcoming run. Can you address the gun? Because I have a I want to run my idea by you. I think you can't do anything personally about it, but can you address the gun? gun situation, why you believe there's just so many in our county? Because I know there's talk about what we deal with.
Well, first of all, a lot of guns come in from Indiana.
Uh-huh.
Where,
yeah.
They don't have the same regulations that
right.
we do here in Illinois.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
And, you know, people buy guns there, bring them, you know, and sell them out of their cars in our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got some real challenges with states around us, particularly Wisconsin and more especially Indiana,
mm-hmm.
where it's a lot easier to buy guns.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a challenge. And Indiana takes no responsibility.
Yeah.
The fact that guns purchased there are brought to surrounding states
mm-hmm.
and end up in the hands of bad actors.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing. And we need to figure out how, you know, for federal courts or however we can bring action against
Indiana
and try to get them. Yeah, you know, that's one part. But the other part is, frankly, that so many of our neighborhoods are unsafe
mm-hmm.
That people feel that they need guns to protect themselves and defend themselves. Now, if people felt safer in their neighborhoods
mm-hmm.
and if they felt sure that the criminals would be brought to justice,
mm-hmm.
I don't think so many people carry guns. But when so many of our neighborhoods are unsafe and so many people distrust the police and don't think the police are
mm-hmm.
going to address
mm-hmm.
the crime in their
mm-hmm.
communities,
mm-hmm.
they feel like they got to protect themselves. And, you know, in that same period, as I said, where 99.8% of the people
mm-hmm.
were arrested on felony charges
mm-hmm.
did not pick up a new gun offense,
mm-hmm.
99.8%.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the police are not arresting people in 93% of the shootings and the murders.
My God.
Going unsolved.
They're not arresting folks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. You know, the national average for murders, the closure rate is about low 60, 61, 62. Out of
mm-hmm.
300 murders, they arrest somebody 61, 62.
Mm-hmm.
In Chicago, it's 26%. You know, that's the number for murders. 26 out of 100. So you murder somebody, you got three chances out of four getting away with it. You know, and if everybody
mm-hmm.
knows that in your community, and everybody's tempted to take revenge
themselves,
right? Absolutely. Vigilante justice, because if you know the police aren't going to arrest somebody, you know.
I had this, and I don't know if every gun that leaves, and I'm a responsible gun owner, have been for years. Every gun that comes from the manufacturer has a serial number on it. Everyone. And it leaves there and goes somewhere. Just like your car has a VIN number. Every car has a VIN number.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that when that gun leaves, let's just say Smith & Wesson, when that gun leaves Smith & Wesson and they take it to Preckwinkle Gun Shop, and Preckwinkle Gun Shop has, you know, she sells it to Angela, right? And now Angela is the gun owner. How many guns from you? Why Angela leaves those stores and then they end up
you're here.